Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 62 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you for being a part of the show. And coming up on the program today, we are going to break out a Padre in your pocket. It's been a while since we've talked to Father Nathan Cromley, my buddy, but he is never one to shy away from a tough topic, and he's going to do that today. We have a great perspective from him on tattoos and piercings, and our society is changing. I remember when my husband started growing a beard 7 or 8 years ago. He claims he started the trend. And I mean, it's been a while. Now you see beards all over. But my father-in-law, I remember at the time saying that back in his day, beards in the workplace were not acceptable, that you would never go to an interview, for example, without being clean shaven and with a fresh haircut. And so if beards were taboo, certainly piercings and visible tattoos would be in the workforce completely not acceptable, but that is not the case anymore. And is there a moral right or wrong attached to that? Well, Father Nathan is back with his monk mind and his holy heart, so he has some words of wisdom on that for us. Also, on today's episode, some big life news to share. Not one, but two major developments that I'm excited to tell you about, so I'll spill the beans. Also, an update on the Arise Retreat for 2017, and our pick of the week on our summer reading list, as promised. In the last episode, I mentioned we were going to do that this summer, so we will get to all of that as we jump right in. So let's give it a go. And as we always do, we start with stillness, praying and praising in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved Lord, in 10,000 ways, you have already been present in ordinary events of this day. Help us to arise to meet the challenges yet to come. Help us to arise to the surprises that you have yet in store for us today, and to embrace the mystery of the cross in the troubles of today. May we embrace all that you give us this day, knowing that you are with us as Good Shepherd. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through.
A big thank you to Gretchen for taking the time to write. I'm so grateful. And if you have anything to share feedback-wise, reach out. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's where her email came from. She said, "Dear Brooke, my daughter recently graduated from high school and announced to me that as a gift for her hard work, she wants a tattoo. This is not something her father or I approve of, but I'm really struggling to find a moral reason to object. Do you or Father Nathan have any resources for this?" Well, I do, actually, Gretchen. Thank you for your email, by the way. The resource I have is Father Nathan. I asked him the question about tattoos and piercings, since I know that they often go hand in hand. So I wanted to ask about both of those and decided to make that a good Padre in your pocket. Thanks to you, Gretchen, for your feedback. So here we go. He's going to tackle that topic.
Padre.
Today's topic is our bodies, and more specifically, tattoos. These are big these days. It seems like from 18-year-old college students to 70-year-old grandmothers, that they're getting tattoos and of different significance and size. But is there a right or wrong to this morally? I have a Pentecostal friend, and when we talked about this, she said in her faith tradition that it is not morally okay in their faith. And she quoted Leviticus. It's that verse, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you. I am the Lord." So this could also go to piercings as well. So is there a theological take on this, Father Nathan?
Well, once again, there, Mrs. Taylor, you do a wonderful job of putting me in the very difficult spots, but darn it all, that's where a shepherd needs to be. So you have to understand here, when I'm saying these type of Padre in your pocket things, I'm not the Pope, I'm not Jesus. I am a shepherd who's trying to interpret the tradition of Christ and the gift of Christ and the light of faith for you on these difficult issues. But there can be differences of opinions. On this one, I have a take that I'd like to proffer because I think is the right take. I work with teenagers. I work with young adults all the time. And so this question comes up a lot. So I'm going to give you my interpretation of the Bible and the Christian tradition on this with as much authority as I can because I think it's right. The body does not need any other markings to make it more beautiful than God made it. When he made skin, it's not a blank canvas. That's what's so amazing. When we look at tattoos, we think, oh my gosh, I'm making my body more beautiful. You can't make skin more beautiful than it is. The only thing you can do is invest in the skin and give it the care that it needs to flourish as skin. But drawing upon skin is actually taking away from the beauty of that skin that God made. See, it's a different perspective. We think, okay, the church teaches us that we may not do anything that would deface or degrade the body in its dignity. And then people say, well, what about a picture of Jesus on my shoulder or a cross on my wrist? Isn't that great because we're putting a religious symbol on me? I actually know of a guy who put the Sacred Heart tattooed on top of his heart on his chest and the wound of Christ tattooed onto his side. You know, so you're like, talk about pious tattoos. There you go. And so I can understand that. I also understand that a lot of good people listening right now have tattoos. And you're saying, but I says, you know, did I sin? Is this some sort of terrible moral thing? And I would say no, because you didn't know at the time. And also, you know, this is something that you might really feel as if it really makes your body more beautiful. I would simply like to offer a thought to you. I don't think anyone can improve upon what God did when it comes to the human body. Skin is not neutral. It is something. The beautiful appearance of your body is something. So already to do something different with it in a way that alters its appearance so dramatically as to draw upon it permanently, I think that that's going too far. I don't think we should allow it. I don't think it's good. What do you do about piercings? That's a more difficult one, right? Because ear piercings, it seems, actually make the body a lot more beautiful. Well, I think that here is the same thing. Honestly, I do think that earrings make your bodies look very beautiful to a degree. If you have 15 of them, I think it's gone too far. So you're kind of like, well, is there a contradiction there? I think that it's more of a stretch than a contradiction. It's one thing to put a stud in your ear. It's another thing to draw a mark on your body that will never, ever be removed. The stud in your ear even itself is a permanent thing. So you could say, well, it's all, and you're right. That is something that perhaps it'd be better not to have them. But at the same time, it doesn't denigrate the body to the degree that drawing on it does. Because when it comes to tattooing, even if it's a positive thing, an image of Jesus, I think that it's always going to be something that takes away from the beauty that God put there. That's my opinion on it. And I do think it's in accordance with the teachings of the church, but it's not the teachings of the church. And there's a lot of great people that have tattoos. And I don't think it's a be all and end all of life. I do know this, sometimes mothers or fathers are caught because your children want. Let me give you a neat piece of advice that a wise father once gave his son. His son was at the military academy and wanted to get a tattoo for his class because everyone in the class was getting it. And the dad simply told him he was against the tattoo. And his dad said, if you really want to get that, wait 4 years. And if you still want it after 4 years, then get it because it's a permanent thing. It won't go away. So the son listened to his dad. And it thanks him to this day that he did not get that tattoo because 4 years later, he really didn't care.
I believe it. You know why? Because I've been there, done that. I have a tattoo of a cross on my ankle and I regret it. And I thought at the time, if I ever get tired of it, I could just have a sock cover it. It's no big deal. But I deeply regret it. And also for my children, because who I am today is not who I was. And the same for my husband. He is the only one, aside from me, that I know of that really regrets it. I guess I haven't polled a whole lot of tattooed friends of mine, but many that I do know have been very proud that love and appreciate it. But I appreciate your thoughts because it's not a condemnation or a judgment. You're just beautifully opening the scope of our thought to consider, to contemplate what God says. And it really gives me pause when I think about the makeup or the highlights that I put in my hair. And is it the same concept? Because I remember a friend of mine saying, you know, when you get older and the barn, the paint's coming off a little bit, it's okay to put a fresh coat of paint on it, make the barn look shiny. And as we age, a little bit of lipstick that might boost a lady, or is that false confidence? Or is it just like self-care? You know, we put deodorant out, you know, we do the hygiene to you know, be fresh and nice. I think this is a tough line because the cosmetic industry is billions of dollars, not to mention the alterations that we do to our faces, whether it's Botox or fillers or collagen or plastic surgery. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. So is there a point where it's like, this is the line? You can put a little bit of mascara on, but don't have a facelift? Or is it across the board a matter of discernment for each woman?
I want to give you an image. I think that the face, the hair, the outward appearance of a person is the celebration of the soul. It's the icing on the cake, and it's what makes us shine forth and resplendent. But if we don't have that soul and our person in peace, you can start to put as much mascara as you want on and will never be beautiful. Beauty comes from the eyes, it comes from the smile, it comes from the loving heart. And so if you're doing things to enhance that celebration, to shine forth in resplendency for a date night with your friends or when you go out on the town to look good and to celebrate, that's wonderful. But there's going to come a time where you start to see actually that you're relying more upon the makeup than upon your love. And you're relying more upon your hair color than you are upon your wisdom of age. And at that point, I would invite you to reflect on, you know, who is my God and what do I really use to define myself? If you're having the celebration define your heart, then it becomes empty. And maybe it's time for us to go back to that source of God's love for us. But on the other hand, to make ourselves look good and enhance our beauty and enhance our body because it lifts up our soul and helps our souls to shine forth. Well, on the other hand, I don't see any problem with that at all. I think that I can sum it up in a really just good way. The struggle that you ladies are having so often with this stuff, be it with entertainment, be it with makeup, be it with the free time that you have, be it with food, it's that society, our culture has taken things that are legitimate and just taken them so extreme that you can't have too much of a good thing. So that's why it's hard, because it's good to be beautiful. Yeah, but is it good to spend $9,000 so you don't have wrinkles around your eyes? I think that on Judgment Day, our Lord would not be very happy with me when I tell him that I didn't give that money to someone who needed it because I needed to take my wrinkles away. We got to stand in front of our judge and like, well, no, I do think it was worth it. Well, you're going to have to make that evaluation. The difficulty, though, doesn't come necessarily from evil things. It comes just because now everything that's good can be taken and made a god. Don't make a good a god. If you are, bad news. And that's kind of, I think, a good line to look at it with.
Thank you so much, Father Nathan. Wonderful words of wisdom.
It's Brooks House. It's Brooks House.
All right, well, come on in. The kids are home for summer break. The house is a mess, so you'll just have to overlook that. The counter is sticky with popsicle bowls, as my son says, but it's filled with love and good news. I have some good news to share. And boy, this was a doozy of a week in Brooks' house in very unexpected ways, but I wanted to share some of the good news that occurred. And that is, number one, that I got a new job. And that in and of itself was a very specific answer to prayer. The job is this. I'll be a news anchor. There's a radio station in Cleveland called WTAM 1100. And it's a legendary station, actually, in our market. It's in the top five, which is a great thing. It's a news talk station, also heavy into sports, which I'm not, but that's okay. I can just report the headlines, which is what I'll do. But it's part-time, which is what I'm so grateful. And this is why it's such a specific answer to prayer, not only where it is, but how it works out. So I still am able to be home with my children, which is why I left my full-time job in the first place. But as you know, when you step out in faith that way and decide to make a major life change, it always comes with trust and faith and on your knees, believing that God will provide. And as we've gone through the months, things have gotten a little thinner, a little tougher. And so we've needed to somehow do something that's going to still fit right in. And God provided once again. So the hours are great. It's part-time. I can still do ministry work and speaking engagements and the retreat and the podcast, I'm happy to say. But also, it allows me to do something that I so love, which is old school traditional radio and at a very high level, which will be challenging and fun. So I'll be, the job is kind of curating the newscast, gathering the content, writing the stories, putting together the newscast 3 days a week. So in so many ways, it's the best of both worlds because the hours don't start until my husband gets home from work. So we don't need to worry about a babysitter and it's not every day. So at least I'm still seeing my husband, but it's all good and kind of dipping my toe back into something that I really love. And the funny thing is the timing of it will be right in the midst of the RNC. That's here in Cleveland, the Republican National Convention and all the hoopla that goes with it. That's coming in July. I'm starting the job at the end of June. So it's going to be pretty intense. So I could use your prayers. I appreciate that. But more than anything, just celebrate. Celebrate the good news and wanted to share that with you. And the second praise report, this is a big one and hard for me to even speak the words out loud, but you know the story. So you are in on this journey as well. And I want, before anybody else knows and I make a big announcement, to share it with you, my podcast family, my listeners of Good Things Radio, that on June 9th, I received word that the 22-page book proposal that I had submitted to the Catholic publisher was accepted. And I have officially been offered a book contract. So praise report, God is so good. And He would be good whether there would be no contract, a flat out rejection, a deferral, or whatever, but He's good. And the way, again, that these specific prayers were answered, because if you listen back to the Grand Gesture episode of Good Things Radio, that podcast, that was the entire theme, talking about this potential book deal, but me needing to do a lot of soul searching and discernment and work and legwork ahead of time. And so that was done. And He said yes, they said yes. So over the next 6 months, that's going to be an entirely new path that I'm going to be going down and working on this book. And if all goes well, it should be out in the fall of 2017. So it's going to be kind of like a baby, I feel, but all good. And the funny thing was that when I found out, I knew that this acquisitions meeting with the publisher and everybody meeting was going, it was out of my control once I turned everything in. And I knew the meeting was going to be happening on June 9th. So I thought I need to do something that will occupy my mind, because you have you ever had that happen where you're waiting for results or a test or a phone call and you're just trying so hard to not allow it to dominate every thought. So what we decided to do was go to the farm. It's called the farm in Walnut Creek. It's a beautiful farm, couple hundred acres in Amish country, fantastic. And you can go on a hayride and then see all the animals and walk through these exhibits where they have like monkeys and peacocks and everything. So I had all my kids. And as I was walking through with my hands full, my watch notification went off and it was an email and I just saw the subject said, congratulations. And that was it. It was it. So I, at that moment, dropped to my knees because I was so overcome. I think I had convinced myself that it was just not going to happen, that it was going to be a flat out rejection. So I was blown away when I got that news and just dropped to my knees in thanksgiving, which I know startled my children. They had no idea what was going on. And at that same moment, as I'm praying and tears are coming out of my eyes, my son falls and skins his knee in the gravel. And it reminded me of my mom telling me that in her era, when they would go through their confirmation in religious formation, the bishop would slap them as a reminder that they would never forget this moment. And so I told my son, Garrett, I'm like, look, the Lord in His wisdom wants us never to forget this moment. You're a part of that. I don't know if he felt the same gratitude, but I don't think I'll ever forget it. Just the unique atmosphere of being surrounded by these animals and my son getting hurt and then getting in the car and telling, guys, to my kids, this is what we've been praying about and this is actually happening. And then my son saying, I don't think anybody's going to buy the book though, Mom. And thank you to my teenage boy, because I think kids have a way of humbling you. And any bubble that was forming was definitely burst, but it was good because that's true. Of my own work, of my own ability, it means nothing, but it's for God, it's to God, it's within God that He has brought about this blessing. So thank you to you for following the journey, for sticking with me, for being a part of the story. And I cannot wait to share with you as the months go on, and just would ask humbly for your prayers if you see fit to remember me in your intentions and just that the Lord would work, that the Holy Spirit will descend, the Spirit of Pentecost, and that I would be obedient. And so with that, and speaking of books, as promised, I have our Book of the Week selection. So in our last episode, number 61 of Good Things Radio, I talked a little bit about a lot about summer reading and some of our personal selections, both for me personally, for the family as well. And once a week, I want to share another suggestion as we go through the summer for a read aloud. So this week, it's a very short book. It's one that you can pick up and read. And I would say for the ages of 6 and up. And I mean, if you want to take it out and read it yourself as an adult, there's no shame in that. I totally recommend it. This week, the book is The Flag with 56 Stars, A Gift from the Survivors of Mauthausen. And the description, it's an incredibly illustrated book, first of all, but the description says this: on May 6th, 1945, when the 11th Armored Division of the U.S. Army marched into the Mauthausen concentration camp, they were presented with an extraordinary gift. Despite their desperate and starving conditions, a group of concentration camp prisoners had surreptitiously sewed scraps of sheets and jackets together to make a U.S. flag. Even though the inmates had added an extra row of stars, Colonel Richard Seibel had the flag flown over the camp as a tribute to the humanity, the perseverance, and the spirit of the survivors of Mauthausen. The meticulously researched paintings by Bill Farnsworth poignantly depicts the events. And it's a tissue alert. I have to warn you of that, because you read the story of these concentration camp prisoners in their most desperate hour, but their gratitude to the Americans and to the Allies for freeing them, for liberating them, and wanting somehow to show their thank you when they have nothing but the breath within them, and taking the scraps that they had, trying to figure out how many stars are on the American flag, how can we sew a flag to show our gratitude, and then presenting to them like gifts to the Magi, to these liberators, the American troops. Oh my goodness, it's so powerful, it's so beautiful, and one I think that you could almost build a curriculum around as you talk about World War II, and it's a topic that we frequently, if you listen to the podcast, touch on, and I also impart part to my kids so often, whether it's the story of Irina Sendler or Maximilian Kolbe or Edith Stein, there are so many stories, John Paul II, that you can read and share. So that's our pick of the week. And also one more plug. This is for older readers. It was a text I got from my neighbor. So thank you to my neighbor, Jessica. She said, "Hi, I had a chance to hear your podcast and wanted to recommend one more book. We aren't too far in, but it strikes me as a book that boys might like. I'd say it's about fifth grade level, but lots of Spanish names. It's about a Spanish map maker in the time of the Spanish explorers who has a map of gold and owes the king one-fifth of the gold. It's called The King's Fifth by Scott Odell." It looks like it is a Newbery honor book as well. So, oh, it's the author of The Blue Dolphins. Okay, that... So we'll put that one in as honorable mention as well. And if you have any books at all, again, whether it's one you're reading and love this summer or one that your kids have stumbled upon and as a family you enjoy, let us know. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And that's this pick of the week. It's The Flag with 56 Stars, A Gift from the Survivors of Mauthausen.
Hi, Brooke. It's Jenny. I just had to reach out and let you know that I am up. It is 4 o'clock in the morning, and I just listened to your latest episode, and I was absolutely thrilled to hear you talk about June and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because the reason that I'm up so early is to prepare our home for the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which we are having done today. It's been very beautiful the way that I've come to this and the way that I came to the images that we have in our home. And it was just really neat to me that I woke up, started your podcast first thing as I started to get ready, and the first thing I heard you say is, it's June and Sacred Heart of Jesus. So thank you for that. And also, I'm very, very excited to hear that there will be an Arise 2017, and I am going to do everything that I can to be there. Thank you, Brooke, for all you do. I miss you, and I love you. Bye.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
Okay, and as we wrap up the show, I've got one more big note about the retreat. This is Arise 2017, and although it's not until April of next year, periodically I just want to share some exciting updates as we get ready, as things unfold, and pull back the curtain a little bit so you can see what's going on behind the scenes. And before we're ready for showtime to put the tickets on sale, which is an entirely different topic, we've really been strategizing, what is the sweet spot for moms to buy retreat tickets? Is, you know, the summer a tough time because there are families taking vacations, and we're not kind of in that mindset? I think, though, August is really tough because then all your finances, at least for us, are going to supplies and school clothes and all that goes with it, the lunch money. Once we get into fall, though, we really need to put the tickets on sale in order to be able to plan and prepare. So that's kind of what we're looking at now, but that may change as we strategize. I had a meeting last night with the Arise team, and I'm excited and impressed. Lord knows I am not the most organized person, but what I love is that the Holy Spirit has sent some angels my way that really are, that have a gift for that. And so we are already ahead of the game. And one of the things that I can share with you is our scripture for the Arise Retreat 2017. This is so exciting and beautiful. And it speaks to the reason why we have this retreat. It's the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. And it says this, "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me.'" And as we look to having a retreat that will be on Divine Mercy weekend, this is what it's about. The Lord summoning us, calling our name and saying, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me to the ocean of mercy that I have prepared for you," and wanting to just dazzle and shower us, and that God is taking us on a journey. This is a Divine Mercy honeymoon weekend, essentially, for those few days in which you will be awakened and blessed and rested. And only God can do all of that, and we trust Him for it. So that's the scoop. It's Song of Solomon, our scripture theme for 2017, the Arise Retreat, chapter 2, verse 10. "My beloved spoke to me and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, beautiful one, and come with me.'" The retreat will be, again, the dates are April 20th through the 23rd. We've secured a program that is beyond what I even imagined, and I can't wait to share those details with you as well. But for now, at least you can mark it down, and I hope that you can make it. Any feedback that you have, I would love to hear, but at least you get a little nugget, a little taste of what's to come for next year at Arise 2017. And there you go. With that, we're wrapping up another episode of Good Things Radio, talking about everything from tattoos to new jobs to the retreat and good books. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. And a big thank you to every single one of our Podbean patrons. It's because of you, and I say that genuinely, that this show is still continuing and made possible, going strong. So my heartfelt thank you. If you want to support the program, be a part of the show, contribute as a Podbean patron, you can do that. It's a basic tip jar program that says, "I like what you're doing. I want to show that it needs to continue." And you can go to podbean.com. Just look up Good Things Radio, and you can subscribe to the crowdfunding program right there. And be a good friend of the program. Every single good friend patron receives personal family prayer support every day by our family. We've got a list on our altar. We lift up those prayers every morning, and especially the intentions that you may have as well. So you can do that. Also, there's an app. It's Podbean. Just download that. Look up the show. Great programs also through Breadbox Media and other great podcasts as well that you can listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. Also, if you get a chance, check out the podcast Girlfriends. It's by Danielle B. She is one of the most well-respected, well-known, well-read, well-written podcast, blogger, speaker, TV host that I know. Long admired Danielle Bean's work. You might know her from Momnipotent. It's a book and study about the dignity and importance of motherhood and validating womanhood and just who you are. Also an editor for Catholic Digest, and all about just helping moms know their dignity and worth so they can find peace and balance. If you've not checked out her podcast, I highly recommend it. I think that I may be making appearance on there pretty soon. I'm excited. But regardless of that, if it happens or not, I hope that you'll be able to check it out. Her podcast, there's so many great options out there as we walk the journey together. Thank you to Father Nathan Crownley for joining me with another Padre in Your Pocket episode, and for you for being a part of the program. Until next time, friends, God bless you.